the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Beyond the Pitch. I'm Juan Aranguin. It's a pleasure, a distinct pleasure, to have a gentleman here. Well, he needs no introduction. Mr. Steve McManaman, how are you, sir? How's Miami treating you, first and foremost?
Miami is beautiful. It's nice and warm. I've just flown in from Spain yesterday, which was, of course, very hot. So the climate is very much of the same type of climate, and it's really nice to be here. It's the first time I've ever been in Miami, actually. It's a beautiful city.
Well, next time you come, I'll invite you to some Cuban coffee or something. I mean, the coffee you're drinking right now, yeah. You need a Cuban coffee.
I need a Cuban coffee, definitely.
Steve, one of the things that really encapsulated you as a player was your ability to work and your mental strength. Yeah. And I guess none of it was, there was an article that was written a few months ago about your relationship with your wife, and you played a match, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, you played a match in London a few years, actually like 20 plus years ago, and I hope I didn't date you, I hope.
Okay.
But after the match was over, you were man of the match.
Yeah.
And you ended up going on campus to go visit your wife now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And you ended up typing a paper for her. I mean, the visual of you doing that on two fingers, the visual was kind of painful there. But that helped you really, as far as your resoluteness to be able to get things done, really helped you a great deal. Tell me a little bit more about that and how that helped you as a player.
To be honest, I was always that type of person. I went to see my girlfriend play in the lacrosse match, and I always remember she didn't want me ever to watch games because she didn't get embarrassed, but I think she felt that it was a bit of pressure, and I turned up, and I always remember I had to like sort of hide behind the tree so she couldn't see me properly, and then I had to say well done at the end. She's like, what are you doing here? So it was I used to do that a lot, and if she needed help because she was studying for a law degree in German, law degree, and studying to be a barrister. So she was under a lot of stress with a lot of work. So if I could help out in any way, of course I would do it. I don't know I didn't have the knowledge of that particular law degree as she did, of course. But if I could help out in any way, that's what I do.
I bring that across because I mean we especially you as a footballer, everybody remembers all the good times.
Of course,
But what helped you overcome at the beginning with Real Madrid was the difficulties and the adversity, and also the support that you got from a lot of Real Madrid fans were behind you. And as soon as that came up, that really helped assert you as a very referent player, a very relevant player within the history of Real Madrid.
Yeah, because it always, I appreciate now when foreign players come into England, people expect them to be amazing straight away. And I say to people, no, unless you've lived that lifestyle, it's very difficult. I left England I played my last game for Liverpool, I think it was on May the 17th when I was leaving. My mother was very ill at the time, and she passed away the day after. So that, a lot of things were going on in my mind apart from playing football. And then, 4 weeks later, I left Liverpool and went to move to Madrid. So I left my father there, who just left his wife there, of course, whose wife just passed away, and his son's just left, who, of course, me and my father had a very close relationship. Yeah. He followed me all through my career. So to leave him and then go to a different country and then have to start learn a new language, move into this, into accommodation, then play for a team with the history of Real Madrid, it is very difficult. So when players come over and do that now in England, I appreciate it a lot. You have to give them time to settle in, to relax, to understand the culture, to understand, what time people sleep, what time, what things people eat, how they prepare for games, because it is all different depending on what country you were born in. So it is very difficult. Sometimes it's very lonely. Sometimes it's, very scary. Sometimes, I just had to sit there with all these Spanish players or, Spanish-speaking players and not understand the words. But you had to sit and sort of, share a beer with them and, smile and say hola and, whatever you could speak at that particular time. And then, they realise that actually this man's okay, he's good, he wants to be one of them. And then 2 months later, you're better at the Spanish and you're more ingrained in their society and you're more friendly with them all. And then 6 months in, 7 months in, you know, you're part of the family then. And then a new signing signs the year later, and then it's his turn to be that shy, lonely person.
And it's but your turn to then become
to help
the
player
them. That
exactly,
in.
Exactly.
I mean, how have you seen football change from that perspective? Is it still a lot of that camaraderie, or is it more of that, still a bit more individual because of, you know, the technology and all that other type of thing?
I would certainly hope it's still got a lot of that camaraderie. I know it's difficult. I know it has changed a lot, because when I was playing for Liverpool, the nucleus of the dressing room was very much a Liverpool-born players, certainly English-born players. Yeah. When I went to Spain, the captains were the Spanish players. It was Manolo Sanchez, it was Fernando Hierro, it was Raúl. You know, they were the kings of the dressing room. So we whatever they decided, we followed them. That becomes less and less now, because the players now, you know, I think there's, you know, two or three players from England in Liverpool's dressing room. There's really only now, if you think of it, there's Sergio Ramos is the main leader of the Real Madrid dressing room, but he's probably Isco, the only one. Isco, Carvajal, younger players, they probably haven't got the voices of Benzema or a Bale or a Modric or Toni Kroos, because they've been around a bit longer. But so it's become less and less, but I still hope to think that there's a camaraderie, a friendship, you know, something that you will do for your teammate. You know, you'll do anything for your teammate, because, let's be honest, you spend more time nowadays with your teammates than you do with your family a lot of the time. You travel, you play on a Saturday, you play on a Tuesday and a Wednesday in Europe. So you're with this group of players for a long, long time. So if they're not your brother, I mean, you know, what are they?
It's interesting you mentioned that, because there was kind of that thing that with Griezmann and Godin, you know, that Griezmann is Godin's daughter's godfather, that type of thing, you know?
Correct, absolutely.
So you see that. You came in at an interesting time in Madrid's history, or La Liga's history, I should more encompass. How have you seen that moment, and then all of a sudden that rise that ended up being a meteoric rise in popularity of La Liga, not necessarily a Barcelona or Real Madrid, because they were already brands, but
the league itself. Yeah. Well, I think the fact that when I arrived, so I know Real Madrid had won the Champions League in '98, but from 2000 onwards, and of course then, you know, Florentino coined the phrase Galacticos. Yeah. It was part of a bigger issue in the brand issue. Yeah. But then La Liga teams become really powerful in European football. It was Real Madrid, it was Valencia at the time, then it was, of course, it was Barcelona. You know, we had other teams doing really well. And I think since then, if you look over the statistics over the last, you know, 20 years or something, La Liga teams have dominated all the big competitions. And I think that's, you know, so it shows you now that, you know, the best teams, the most successful teams have come from La Liga. There might be more money in the Premier League. There might be stronger 20 group of teams in the Premier League than there is in La Liga. That's whoever you want.
Yeah.
It's whoever's opinion is right. But the best teams, the most successful teams, are the teams in La Liga. And everybody in England is playing catch up with Real Madrid, because they've just won the Champions League. Atletico have just won, you know, the Europa League. You know, the Super Cup on the 15th of August is between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. You know,
you might as well play it in Madrid
again,
for that matter.
Well, a couple of years ago, it was Real Madrid against Sevilla. It was Barcelona against Sevilla in Tbilisi a few years after. Barcelona against Sevilla in Tbilisi a few years ago. It's like every year it seems to be the same. And every year the English team spend more and more and more money. And then we're still playing catch up, you know. So the La Liga teams are the top of the tree, and everybody else is trying to beat them.
And it's interesting to hear it from your perspective, because you have the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
you played in England, and you're saying
and
that
I
because
I work in England as well. Yeah. So I work in England, and I was at the Champions League final, and you know, I'm associated with Liverpool more now. I work with Liverpool as well, but you know, it's you know, I know I watch all European football. I have done for a number of years. I work on the Premier League every single week, so I watch every team in the Premier League. And yes, we have some great teams in the Premier League, but the best teams are in Spain.
What is the secret? I mean, you talked about the money that's being pumped into the Premier League, and maybe to not such an extent in La Liga, if you start looking at other teams outside of the top five, six, whatever.
Yeah,
what is the secret that those teams are able to compete at that level? I mean, it's obviously not the money, but it's probably other things.
I think technically the better players. I think, you know, when they play better styles of football, they're very confident on the ball. I think whether you go down to the 10th place team, to the 12th place, they're all really comfortable on the ball. They can all play. You know, in England we have this thing about, you know, if you go further down, we get it, we kick it, we fight, we get a result. Whereas in La Liga, the Spanish fans always want to be entertained. I mean, you know, you've spent time in Spain probably. They all want to be entertained. They want to see nice football first and foremost. Of course, they want to win, but they want to win by playing the right way. And I think that is the ideology of Spanish football. And it's the right way. You know, you want to be entertained. I don't want to go and watch my team win 1-0, but be, you know, a really ugly game. It's like, what's the point? So, I think that's the big standout. No matter what team you watch in Spain, whether they finish 20th, 12th, or, you know, in the top four, they all try and play a style of football which is worth watching.
Steve, before I go, your relationship with La Liga, where do you see the brand, the executive, the administrative end of La Liga going from here on? You see the international expansion that's been going on?
I mean, Atletico Madrid are in Singapore. Well, they played yesterday against Arsenal. You know, a lot of big teams are here. As you know, Barcelona came yesterday. Madrid are here. Espanyol have been here. I think they're just going to keep on growing. I think with the introduction of, you know, we're sitting here in Miami, of course, a big Hispanic community. You know, there's going to be hopefully a new, beautiful new football stadium here in the next couple of years, and, you know, a team in the MLS. I think it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And with the introduction of a team here, with the expansion of La Liga, with the, you know, the explosion still of the Spanish football, and the more I know from, you know, personal point of view, that the English teams and the Spanish teams love coming out to the USA. Facilities are brilliant, the pitches are brilliant, the climate's brilliant, all for pre-season football, and this will only get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Steve, I wish I could talk to you for like 9 hours, but, man, you know, it can't happen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Next time.